blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 38, stanzas 2 and 4. The Lord's commands are pure, and they light and joy restore. Jehovah's fear is clean, enduring evermore. His statutes, let the world confess, are holy truth and righteousness. 2 and 4 of Psalter 38. Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, the first chapter, beginning with verse 13 to verse 32. Romans 1, verses 13 to 32. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans 1, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, and they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may read in thy holy word what is living in the heart of each and every one of us. For we read that we are all turned aside, that we are all gone out of the way, that we have together become unprofitable, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And when thou wilt not keep thy wall and thy fence about us, to restrain us from the ways of wickedness, but will but leave us over to our own hearts, then shall spill forth all that is within, since the day of our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. And thou knowest what it is, even when we do not know ourselves. But wilt thou instruct us in the corruptness of that fountain that lies within, that we may also seek that fountain of cleansing that is to be found in thine only begotten Son. Oh, for this purpose thou hast sent him into this world. Oh, that we also may see something in this afternoon hour of our need for him. Oh, and thou wilt but open unto us a little of that which lives within us, that we may cry out under the burden of all our filth and pollution, that we may seek thee, that we may be washed, that we may be cleansed, that we may be forgiven, that we may be justified, and that we may be enabled to stand before thee once again, and to come once more into that blessed and holy communion which thou hast laid away for thy true church. For thou hast said, behold, I am married unto you. And that is through that blessed marriage that thou dost take thy church into covenant with thyself, as that a greater bridegroom does take unto himself his bride. Then it is necessary that we first be washed and cleansed, and because thou art not able to dwell with sin. That desire may be born in our souls while it is still called today. And while we are not standing in our judgment at the end of our time, in that time that it is become too late for us, that we shall be cast from thy presence as those whom thou hast never known. Seek us out then, when we do nothing but seek out the evil. Wilt thou from thy side become too strong for us? Wilt thou stop us upon our mad career? And wilt thou turn us again, and wilt thou draw us, that we might seek thy face while it is still possible to be converted unto thee, and that thou may draw once again thy people, when they as thy bride have left thee days without number, and when there has come another into that life, even this world and all that is therein. That thou may turn them again, for thou dost say unto thy people that thou dost call them again, though they have sought out another husband. That thou may so break the heart of thy church, that they may come again with weeping and with supplications, and that thou may receive them again out of free and sovereign grace unto thyself, to bring them into thy sweet communion, into thy bosom, that they may experience that love which thou hast in thy heart for thy people, that their hearts may be broken, and that they may never leave thee again, and that so thou may bring them again into that blessed company of thy Father in that last day when thou wilt take thy church up unto thyself, when thou wilt cover her with the robe of thy righteousness, and when all her impurity that shall be taken away, and when forever and forever she shall be, she shall enjoy that blessed communion of that greater bridegroom, and never to leave thee anymore, and never to desire anymore another way. That thou may give thy church that holy desire, that they may be taken from all the wretchedness that is here within their hearts, and that that old man may be stripped away, that he finally may die, and that they may come into the blessed perfection of the service of the Lord. Give that holy longing that shall make them to depart, and to set behind their backs all that is of this world, that their faces might be heavenward, that indeed they may live as strangers and pilgrims here below, to make others jealous for that blessed portion that is living in their hearts. So look upon us, each and every one in the need of our poor souls, in which we do not see of ourselves by nature. Do look on all the natural needs also, and that are in this life for each and every one of us, and the families, husbands and wives. Wilt thou give a love for one another, and a blessed self-denial, which will draw to one another, even despite all the consequences of sin that must be experienced in this life. Children, give them a love to father and to mother and to brothers and to sisters in that short time that we are given to be together here in this life, and that thou mayst so bless the families together. Look upon the young people also as they do seek out one another, that they may have and help me to be with them in this life. Oh, that thou may give them a place at thy footstool, and that thou in this most important decision may lead and guide them, that thou may thyself show them the way, and that they may have a desire to be equally yoked with those who are decided for thy truth. And that thou may grant true conversions and give desires in the hearts of our youth to seek out spouses that indeed fear thy name, to be the head of the household and to be the mother to bring up their children. Look upon the children. Lord, take them for thine own account. And while they are still in the days of their youth, make them jealous of that portion that we cannot give to one another, and so that also in the days of their childhood, they shall be found upon their own knees in their secret places, and that in all their simplicity, they may be brought unto thee, and that thou may hear them as thou hast in the days when thou wast here upon this earth. Do look upon all that are afflicted, all that are in hospitals and institutions of mercy. Look on children and youth that have gone the way of this world, that have departed from thy truth, and who no longer come up under it. Oh, that thou may grant parents a place before thee, and that they may know that thy arm is not short and that it cannot save, and that thine ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Look thou upon our governments, bring us again to thy word and to thy testimonies, which we have departed so far from in our land. Oh, that thou may give that our land, which is so polluted with sin and has come out in such an open way to display itself before men. Oh, then it is, as we have read in thy word, that thou givest us over to do those things which are not convenient. Oh, giving men over unto a reprobate mind, and then to receive that recompense in the body, which is meet. Oh, give, Lord, a turning from all this uncleanness and from all this wickedness, which it is our duty also to speak of in this day, when we must bring that commandment before our flock. Oh, that thou may give us wisdom, that thou may give us what is necessary to bring thy holy word. And could it please thee, to make it a sharp arrow that may go into the heart of this one or that one in this afternoon hour, and that there may be those who in all filth and pollution have to cry out, carry me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded. Oh, wash me and make me clean within. Cleanse me from my sin. Help us, Lord, we ask it, in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 360, stanzas 1 through 5. And blessed the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. And by thy toil thou shalt be prospered and be happy all thy days. The last collection today is for the school, Psalter 360, all stanzas. Congregation, the seventh commandment reads, Thou shalt not commit adultery. And this we wish to consider with you in this afternoon out of Lord's Day 41, questions 108 and 109. Question 108. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? Answer, that all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer, since our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. And so far, our Lord's Day, the command concerning purity, first, external purity, second, internal purity. The command concerning purity, first, external, second, internal purity. What is, congregation, the meaning of a purity? That is, to be unmixed. That is, to be a single substance. As when we have pure water, as when we have pure gold, then there is nothing that is in mixed in with it that it might corrupt it. That is, for the physical things, our commandment, the seventh commandment, that speaks about something which is moral. Therefore, it is speaking about a singleness which excludes sin. That is, a singleness of heart, a singleness of word, a singleness in the deed. The Bible says, without dissimulation, God, congregation, is pure. He is in himself one. He is single. There is no mixture in him. We read this also of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is pure, that he is without and knew no sin. So it also was at one time with you and I. So it was at one time with all things that are in this world, and that we were pure, single, that we were without sin as God has created us, and as he himself has testified, behold, it is very good. And so there was nothing in all that Adam and Eve did in the state of their innocence, that they did, that they spoke, and that they thought, which was not single. They did not know what sin was. They didn't know what sin was in the experience of it. It was something foreign to them. The only thing they knew was purity. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God. And thus it speaks about uncleanness. And what is that? that is to be impure. Thus, that is to be mixed, that is to be mixed with sin. And in the Old Testament, the Lord, in the civil laws for the children of Israel, He has given several commandments against mixtures as representations of His command for purity. Ye shall keep My statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. For some of these, there seems to be, they seem to be but instruction for the children of Israel with no moral bearing. And these are for us no longer in effect, as they have come to an end upon the ceasing of the children of Israel in the state of their theocracy. However, there are some of them which do have and continue to have a moral bearing. And those continue to have be a command also to us, because the moral law of God, that is an eternal law. The beasts do not need this commandment concerning purity. The beasts, they do follow the law of instinct which the Lord has given unto them. Man, through the fall, he has become lower than the beast. And he is standing in need of this commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The first thing we read after that sin came into the world is that our first parents knew that they were naked. How is that? What did that first sin which our parents committed have to do with their nakedness? It had indeed nothing in itself to do with it. And yet, immediately after they sinned, this realization came upon them. This is proof that our first parents, immediately after the fall, became fallen creatures, that they became filled with impurity, transgression. Not only these transgressions, but all transgression does bring guilt upon our soul. And for every one of them, we will have to stand before the judgment seat of God. But these sins, the sins against the seventh commandment, in a very special way, also bring upon man a great pollution, because it is the sin, it is the commandment which is against the sin of pollution itself. And it is the experience of all those who are committing such sins that it is bringing upon him corruption, pollution. We may sing together of the blessedness of the married state and of the family, this commandment that has to do with the protection of marriage. Marriage is an institution of the Lord. That is an institution that was given unto man when he was still in the state of his innocency. When man was still pure. When man knew nothing about sin. Therefore, we read in God's word that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But between whom is marriage? Marriage is, as the world tries to corrupt it today, but marriage is between a man and a woman. These two are very different. Have ye not read, we read, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Thus these two, they are very different, created very differently from one another. And these two, God himself has brought together. And why? Because in all of their differences, the Lord has made them fit for one another. Seeing that it was not good that Adam, that man, should be alone, the Lord has created for him a woman, his wife, and help which was meet, which was fit to be with him. Adultery is now the perversion of this holy union. Because adultery, that is the mixing in of a third party in this bond, which is not able to admit such a third party. Thus, such a third party is bringing confusion within that marriage bond. It is polluting that marriage bond. It is breaking that marriage bond. And for that reason, the Lord has permitted that a man and a woman may divorce one another when a third party has polluted this bond. No, he has not commanded it, but he has permitted it. If that innocent party is not able anymore to be joined unto their spouse. But this commandment of the Lord, our fathers say, that is speaking about more than adultery. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God. Thus the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, is a command for purity. The Apostle Paul has written to Timothy, keep thyself pure. To the Philippians he writes, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Is such a state, congregation, attainable to man? Purity. Is it possible that man should become pure even after that he has fallen? That is no longer possible. The prophet says that we are all as an unclean thing. But that impossibility does not take away the command of the Lord. The impossibility does not take away the responsibility that the Lord has placed upon his creature, even in his fallen state. But when the Lord is granting regeneration, what will become the desire of such a soul? Oh, that old man indeed remains in him, but that old man, he becomes to him a burden. Oh, then there is none, we read, that soul does desire but the Lord. There is no communion that they desire as they desire the communion of the Lord. And that Lord, he is so very holy. And as he is pure, so that people also desire to be pure. We read the Apostle John, he writes, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. That all uncleanness is accursed of God. And that therefore we must, with all our hearts, detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Anything that is attempting to confuse the genders, the male and the female, that is attempting to confuse what the Lord has distinctly kept separate and made different. And the Lord has kept them, has created them and kept them different for the preservation of that holy state of marriage. So we read, even in God's word, how that man today, in a special way, even as in Sodom, he will corrupt this what the Lord he has made. And anything which is tending in this direction to confuse these two genders, though it goes not to the extent as is practiced in our world, that is still a transgression of the commandment of the Lord. These sins we read in God's word are called shameful and abominable. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Congregation, is it also an abomination unto us? Because it is not an abomination anymore, it seems, to so many in this world. And we also are prone to be affected by all that is taking place in the world that is about us. We do not hate homosexuals. No, they are persons as you and I are. And we are called not to hate, but we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we know a little bit what is lying in our own heart, then we will not hate our neighbor. But we do hate and ought to hate this sin. Because it is a loathsome sin, because it is an abominable sin. And it is a sin which the Lord himself does hate and loathe. And if we feel something of such sins and tendencies within ourselves, then we ought also to hate and to loathe that sin within ourselves, to confess that sin before the Lord, to ask that it be forgiven, because even the thought of foolishness is sin. And we ought to also seek that help which man is still able to give to us, and that we would not walk in such evil ways. But congregation, do we also hate all of those lesser, if we may call them so, those lesser evils that are attending to that same confusion of gender which we find in this world? Because these are only the epitome, these are only the climax of so much that is happening in the society in which we are living. And the women's liberation movement, and that has been upon us in these past 40 years, that has sadly entered also within our own circles, and that has taken so many also with them. But the Lord speaks of those things in His Word wherein we are called to separate the genders, male and female, so very, very distinctly. Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. That has not affected our circles so much within the men. But must we not say that it has affected so much the women and the girls within our circles? No, friends, let us not have anything to do with all that which the world is doing, because it is a confusion of those things which the Lord will keep separate. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto the man, neither shall the man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. It is again not affecting so much yet our men, although we do see sometimes young people, those who are wearing necklaces, young men, and earrings. Then you make yourself feminine. Or do not have anything to do with the confusion of the genders. It is disappointing, girls, sometimes to see you as you are walking in this world. When you walk over this world, just dressed even like the men that are in this world. Oh, we have our clothing, and that clothing, and that is to cover our bodies. But it is also, the Lord says, to be used to distinguish between the man and the woman. That is also in our days, in the mixing of vocations. Women are commanded, we read, to be keepers at home. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. That is not a place, girls, to be liberated from. That is not a place that you need to be freed from, as if that is some kind of a slavery, a prison, which is the picture that is drawn for you in that world in which we are living. No, that is the place, one of the most blessed places that you can find in this world. Or we ask you this question, girls. Who was ever more influential in your life than your mother? Or who has more influence over our rising generation
who that they are in their character, in their being, in their person, than the mothers who are standing, raising their children to bring them up as we are commanded in the fear of the Lord. Oh, then there is no reason. There is no reason to flee away. There is no reason to escape from such a high, from such an honorable position that the Lord has given unto you in this world. That all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same. God, congregation, is a God of purity, and He has created this world with distinctions, especially in the gender. And He has commanded us not to mix these things. In regeneration, that heart is renewed. And in regeneration, a person begins to detest what God detests. Though it is but a very small beginning of disobedience, thus do we also detest what God detests. What does that mean? That means that we are at war with it. And when we are at war, then we are not seeking out that evil. No, then we are seeking that evil may be put away from us. As Joseph that he says, how shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? When I detest it, then I hate even the thought. Then I hate even the smallest part. And then I am fleeing, then I am running away from these evils. And so we read in God's Word to abstain even from all appearance of evil. And indeed, when I detest these things with all my heart, and then I have a desire indeed to abstain from that even which does look evil in the sight of this world. Young people, for you to live together, a young man and a young woman in the same apartment together, and that is indeed the appearance of evil. It is in the first place a very great temptation, a temptation that man of himself is not able to resist. But not only is it a great temptation, but you rightly make yourself the object of suspicion of the entire community. And your entire community is commanded by the Lord to look not everyone on his own things, but he is also commanded to look everyone on the things of others, that he may warn him, that he may rebuke him, and that he may not suffer sin upon him. That all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in a single life. There are such awful sins that are mentioned in the Holy Scriptures, wherein we can see what a fountain of pollution and of wickedness and of uncleanness that our world has become. Lot has committed incest with his own two daughters. And congregation, there are such awful, awful things. that are happening within the homes, behind the closed doors, within our communities, within the countries in which we are living. And parents, we are not immune from this. No, do not think that these kinds of things are things that will not and that cannot happen to us within our own homes. We are, as the Lord says of the Pharisees, whited sepulchres. And we are indeed looking clean on the outside, but let every man put his hand in his own bosom, because then we will prove to ourselves that within is nothing but dead men's bones. There is a stench and there is a fountain of iniquity. Children's lives, they are being destroyed, even by their own siblings, and sometimes even so sadly by their own parents. And the psychological damage that is coming upon these children for such abuses, that is a lifelong and an irreparable damage. O congregation, do we detest parents? Be home with your children and know where your children are. For a few years you have them, and they are your responsibility to watch over them, to protect them, even from that evil that is living within their own hearts. For those years and that the Lord has committed them to your care and put them under your roof. We will mention one more thing, and that is the evil practice of family planning. That is another confusion. It is a confusion of roles. That is the role of God and of man. We have sung together the blessedness of children. That is what the Lord considers them to be, and they are a gift of God. Consider the sin of Onan. It was the sin of our society in planning of our families. And the Lord slew him. That all uncleanness is accursed of God. And that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Let us sing. In Psalter 57, stanzas 2 and 3. What man shall the hill of Jehovah ascend? And who in the place of his presence attend? The man of pure heart and of hands without stain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain. 2 and 3 of Psalter 57. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Congregation, where does sin begin? It does not begin in the actions. Before that we have sinned with our hands, that sin was conceived somewhere. That sin was conceived within our heart. Outward wickedness is rampant in this world. But that which is outward and that which becomes outward is only a little part of that which is conceived in the heart. Because of the restraining grace of God, and that all men are not living out what is living within. Oh, what a stench that this place would be when all of our hearts would be laid open before one another and before the Lord. After the fall, there is nothing but a fountain of impurity that is lying in the heart of man. There is a reason that God has dressed His creature. We read, He made him them coats of skin, of skins, and clothed them. That was not only Eve, but that was also Adam that the Lord has clothed. Our fathers, they speak of unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. That means persons can be enticed. What does that mean? They can be provoked. They can be lured. They can be tempted. What does that mean? That means you and I are liable to be affected by one another, by what is outside of us that is affecting what is inside of us. Our clothing, that is not in the first place for ourselves. My clothing, that is for you. Your clothing, that is for me. Thus, when we dress, then it is necessary for us to ask ourselves a question. Is it possible with this clothing that I may be provoking someone else? That I may be an offense to the thoughts of another person, that he would think sin because of me? Because then the guilt of that sin of my neighbor, he remains guilty. But I also now am guilty. Thus, what kind of sin is lying on our account because of the way that we are dressed? Or not the rest. Job said that he made a covenant with his eyes. That was a man who was righteous and who eschewed, who hated evil. And he made a covenant with his eyes. Did we ever make a covenant with our eyes? Or don't we have to make a covenant with our eyes? Because we don't realize that we have the same evil within our heart as Job did that made such a covenant necessary? If we have made such a covenant with our eyes, does such a person go to sit upon the beaches with all of those unclothed persons? Congregation, what has ever happened to shame in the world in which we are living? And then, not only in the world out there, but what has happened to shame among us who ought to know better? But Satan is so very, very powerfully working upon that evil, that corrupt fountain that is living in the heart of man. And we need to in our application of such a commandment, also to be current with the evils that are happening in our own day. And that means that there are things that also need to be brought out to us that our fathers, they did not have so much to speak about. But with the arrival of the internet, the pornographic industry has bloomed exponentially. And why? Why are there billions and billions of dollars being spent upon such an evil? Why does this industry thrive? It thrives because in the heart of fallen man is a fountain of corruption. We have little doubt, given the availability, given the corrupt nature of our heart, given the statistics that we may read, that there are those sitting here in our midst that are involved in this evil. And when that is so, we cannot from this place warn you strongly enough. We are in the first place here to warn you not necessarily of the consequences of these sins, but to say and to show unto you what is written in the Word of God concerning the evil and the sinfulness of these sins. Adulterers and whoremongers, we read, God will judge. And the adulterer shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But last night, young people, then you had here a doctor who spoke to you about the consequences of other evils And that perhaps some of you have also taken up in this world. It would be fitting then we would have someone come to speak to you also about the grave consequences of these sins. Because these are not light matters, but they are also physiologically addictive, the same as other addictions which are having their effects upon the body in this world. And when you are involved in these things, and when especially you are, we understand, less than 30 years of age, then the research today about how the Lord has created the brain is showing to us that there is irreparable damage that is taking place in our young people. And this is so very, very sad, because these cases, we as ministers are now receiving within our studies. Distraught husbands, wives, for marriages which have been completely turned upside down, made non-functional because and as a consequence of these sins, which man is so little able to erase anymore. Young people, we warn you, when you are involved in these things, you may be sure that your sins will find you out. And we have one advice for you. It is not time to hide yourself, but it is time to expose yourself to someone you love. To tell them how great that this, how greatly that this affects you, and how that you are unable to deliver yourself from these awful sins. Do you have a friend, young people, who you know is involved in these things? You are no friend, except that you get them that help that they so need before that it is too late. Parents, we warn you, when it is necessary that the internet is taken into our homes, we have a responsibility before God that this is properly filtered and that we are watching what is happening in our own homes. We do not need Facebook. We do not need social networking sites, parents and young people. The world is recognizing the dangers and the evils of these things before we are. And the world is protecting itself in many cases when even we, in our own circles, we are leaving ourselves and our children exposed to the great temptations of the prince of darkness. Since both Our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost. He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto, temples of the Holy Ghost. That is the body and the soul of the true church of God. The place where that Holy Spirit comes to take up his abode is that congregation our desire. Is that what we ask the Lord for? That the Lord would come to take up his abode within our heart. Then how necessary it is that we may possess our vessel in sanctification and in honor, because two cannot walk together except that they are agreed. Oh, how our soul and our body needs to be cleansed. How it needs to be cleansed from all filth and from all pollution. Not only that we need justification, that we may be able to stand before the judgment seat of God, but also sanctification, that we may be washed, that we may be cleansed, and that we may be renewed unto a new life. David felt the uncleanness when he had committed especially that sin against the seventh commandment. Then he cried out, wash me, make me pure within, cleanse. Oh, cleanse me from my sin. And that is now the work of the blessed mediator. You say, how is that now possible? That he would cleanse all that filth, all that pollution that is laying in the heart of man. Is that possible? Oh, the power of that blood, of that Lamb of God who was placed upon that cursed tree. That is a power that is able to forgive and to cleanse the sin of this entire world. Therefore he did stoop and he did wash the disciples' feet as a token. And then he said unto them, but you are washed and ye are clean. Oh, is there a desire? What would that be to hear that from his mouth? When he would say also unto my soul, you are washed and you are cleansed. Blessed people, washed from their filthiness and made fit to come into the blessed presence of a holy and a righteous God. And ye are clean. But he says, not all. What is that? To remain in that filthiness in which we have fallen in our father Adam. When all our life long, then we have heard of that fountain of cleansing, but we never saw the preciousness of that fountain, because we never saw the evil of our own sin. And then our judgment shall be just, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. O Lord, who can stand before thee? For who is clean in thy sight but that blood Oh, that blood that has been shed upon that tree. Oh, make that blood to be precious now in the sight of this one or that one in our midst in this afternoon. Oh, send thy arrow home, Lord, here and there, and wilt thou bring to true confession and to true repentance that thy dear son, that he may be applied unto, and that there may be place for him to spread forth his healing wings, and to wash and to cleanse from all iniquity, from all impurity, and to make white and ruddy, and to bring before thee in that great eternity, Lord, oh, bind these matters upon us. Send us home with a blessing out of thy heavenly store. And wilt thou be with us in the week to come? Help us in catechism, confession, classes. Be with us when we hope to be together for midweek services, in prayer day. And wilt thou help in all the labors of our life, in the homes and by the way. Keep us from all sin. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 140, 1, 2, and 3. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me and make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1, 2, and 3 of 140.
Oh.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.